An option, it is a command. Thus, the act of personal disobedience in the believer is involved. In Exodus, God says, "See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship that was needed for the construction of the tabernacle." The angel told Zechariah that John should be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. That was needed for the effective ministry of the Baptist. The New Testament says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them," that was needed for post-resurrection preaching. The prayer meetings were so characterized, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Paul dealt with deceit, sorcery, and trickery. Then Saul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, "O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord?" And one of the Beatitudes makes this promise: "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Filled with what? Filled with the Spirit. The apostles were told to look for deacons. "Look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom ye may appoint over this business." Stephen was one of the seven, full of the Holy Ghost. That is God's intent, sir. It is the believer's privilege. What is this level? Why not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit? The intoxicated man is not himself. He is another man. He does and says what he would not do and say if he were himself. He is saturated. He is controlled by a wrong spirit. The man of the Spirit is also completely under the influence. His thoughts, acts, and expression are according to the mind and will of God. What are the results? He is the Spirit of the Son. He is the Spirit of the Father. He is holy. He is comfort. He is light. He is might. He is wisdom. He is knowledge. He is understanding. He is revelation. He is prophecy. He is judgment. He is truth. He is grace, he is glory, he is adoption, he is fire. There is a glorious fullness of being. And there is relationship. There is unity. There is communion. There is freedom. There is strength. There is decision. There is ability. There is beauty. There is allegiance. There is character. There is inspiration and warmth. There is love. This is heavenly living in earthly existence. There is adoption. "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ." That is something for an orphan. You have a feeling that you are wanted, that you belong. You have right and request and inheritance. There is comfort. How we all need this every day. I must find my way through difficulty. It faces me in school. It faces me in business. It faces me in marriage. It faces me in church. We must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. It is like oil to pistons, rain to soil, shade to heat. Where comfort missing, I could not make it. I notice this in the very sick, in the shut-in, in the handicapped. There is a spirit of lift in these that often makes me ashamed of any complaint I utter. It sustains the martyr. It makes the prison bearable. It cushions old age. It is the equalizer for those on poverty level and underprivileged. It immunizes grief. It furnishes sanity in the midst of loss. A world system is envious. It sees men like Paul and Silas, beaten men, sing and glow while fastened in the stocks. There is freedom. The Holy Ghost breaks shackles. So many today are beginning to enjoy this freedom in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit applies the proclamation of emancipation, that if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. They are getting rid of their church grave clothes. They have been laid away so nicely and for so long. A smell that offends the community, threatens the health of the community. There's been so much deadness. The Holy Spirit changes that. Slavish fear to man vanishes. A freedom to witness and share grips the believer. There is movement again. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Services are loosened. Spontaneity reappears in singing, praying, and preaching, and especially, especially in giving. There is might or strength. He is the Spirit of power or authority. God does not want weak children, pushovers. There are Goliaths to be fought. There are walls to tumble. There are Midianites to scatter. There are fields to burn. There are infidels to rebuke. There are youth to anoint. The church is not an organization for puny, nerveless, flabby, spineless, impotent defectives. I don't want to invest my life with that crowd. The Bible commands me on every page to be strong. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. How do you account for the fact that Queen Mary of Scotland feared the prayers of John Knox more than all the armies of England? Why were 3,000 converted under one message brought by Peter? Human effort is not enough. One shall chase 1,000. Two shall put 10,000 to flight. And there is fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And fire was manifest at the day of Pentecost. It sat upon each of them. The Holy Spirit generates and eliminates. The redundancies, the extras are burned. The and is eliminated. Suddenly there is focus, desire. The believer's life ceases to be cluttered with so many additional things. His life is pruned. He returns to essentials, things of eternal value. You sense it. There is determination. Message, not performance, becomes the goal of the choir. Study, not friendly competition, becomes the spirit of the Sunday school. Conformity to the will of God becomes the rule of the family. God has returned to first place. There is unquestioning obedience. The fire has refined. It'll get down where jealousy lurks. I have seen that kind of impurity skimmed off in moves of the Spirit that bring red-hot Christian society toward confession and prayer for one another. I have seen the Spirit reach hidden bitterness, bitterness that someone has received an honor and you have been omitted. The Holy Spirit flames enough to burn out that kind of impurity. It reaches resentment and pride and backseat pouting and prejudice and hurt feelings. You can't take those kind of feelings to heaven, mister, and they'll hurt you down here. You need them burned away in the baptism of fire. And what about your temper, your anger? That is a hateful thing. It won't yield to cold treatments. That kind of thing belongs in hell. There's no place in heaven for temper. I'll tell you this, when you are filled with the Spirit, you'll never be able to say in an emotional storm, I'm mad. The fact is, you have no more right to get mad than you have to swear or lie or steal. What would become of your soul if you should die in a fit of anger? You say, I cannot help myself. That's true. You need help, and the Spirit of God is that help. He will fill you with a different kind of passion. How does the Holy Spirit do it? The Bible never, never uses the psychologist's or the psychiatrist's modern term of repression. The Bible uses the term crucify. The Holy Spirit takes you to the cross. That makes the difference between expensive sessions of modern counseling and personality analysis and deliverance. Calvary furnishes more than advice and therapy. Calvary furnishes miracle. That's where hell fought and was defeated. Your temper, your jealousy, your resentment cannot stand at Calvary. They die there. They are crucified. And that is what happens to your old man. You'll get rid of that old self. You don't need to face that ugliness every morning in the mirror. And there is holiness. This is my closing word in this message. Holiness is positive as well as negative. I think I heard so much that was negative in my early days that I was turned off. I wanted to be something. I didn't want to be erased. The Holy Spirit will make you what you want to be and ought to be. There is a positive action. Oh, yes, yes. There is a fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. I do want those eliminated, as I would want poison eliminated, but I want addition. And the Holy Spirit adds love, peace, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. They build you for eternity. Their growth and development in me are the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Listen, I cannot grow into holiness, but I can grow in holiness. And it's beautiful to see yourself grow. This is a little idea of what the Bible means by the command, be filled with the Spirit. It is exciting. You throb to action that is both expelling and propelling. This experience is for you, sir, for you, lady. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So, have you asked? These are precious words. There's room at the cross for you. I trust you will always be able to hear them. One day there will be additional words for the wrongdoer. Depart from me. But now, this is another invitation in these next 10 seconds to the long, long altar.
There's room at the cross for you,
Dwayne and Sylvia Stewart, missionaries in Malawi, Central Africa, have so often found this altar in that part of the world. In one of our most recent testing moments, singing evangelists made Jesus so real to us. As they declared in faith, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. Life is worth the living because he lives. It was a bit of camp meeting in our Mawali home. I was able to commit home and loved ones to his care. And we thank our Oregon district so much for sending revival time to us here. East Africa. Lucio Bresco knelt with us in another part of the world, or Marco City in the Philippines. Your fellowship and strength reached me at the very gate of death. I long someday, Brother Ward, to see you face to face. Nevertheless, you and I have met at the long, long altar because God used you to touch my dying body with deliverance. Precious Christ, we join with the hosts of God to magnify thy name. Thy name, Jesus of Nazareth, is the name of the only begotten Son of God. We confess thy divinity. We praise thee for goodness and mercy. We praise thee for our very lives. We praise thee for revival power and the reach of thy Spirit. I pray for missionaries everywhere, many facing increasing peril. I pray for the homesick. I pray especially for missionary mothers with children stateside who are obtaining education. Sanctify the burden that these dear mothers carry. And I pray for many holding on, that their faith fail not. This can be the week that the answer arrives. So God bless us all. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's steal away to Jesus. Jesus makes the long, long altar different to any make-believe drama. There's no acting here. The Holy Spirit is directing our attention to a girl in her teens who has an ungovernable temper. Neither home or school can cope with it. It's destroying this young woman. In her innermost being, she wants to be different but cannot change herself. Counselors have tried to help her, to no avail. And now she feels condemned and unwanted and desperate. Honey, Jesus has found you at a lonely part of this altar, there in the shadows. Miraculously, he has appeared to still this fury, this storm in your life. You will be given a calm and a patience that will surprise your friends and startle them toward faith. Jesus wills to do this for you because he loves you, and I rejoice with you, and all thanks must go to him. This has been the meeting. We gather at his bidding. Jesus is front and center. No human personality is glorified. The meeting is a forerunner of the promised meeting in the air. And as surely as we've been gathered here, we will be gathered there. Because it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord.